Conversation with Maitreya, May 3rd, 2003.
Hello everybody. Welcome to the conversation room. This is a new format. This new format, I think I have said whatever I am supposed to say and done saying it in a past time. We will have that time. We continue taking new questions and answers and all that, but it sounds like we're going toward more conversation between us and in a deeper level of understanding with all of us, and just go back and forth and talk about things in a mission. And if new people came, of course, they can just jump in. This room is going to be almost the same as the one we have in all the regions are unified. We're going to have the same format. If somebody became rowdy, we can drop them or bounce them or whatever we do in the other room. If you need to know about the mission and what it teaches, you can go to our website. You can go to the other room that I give the lecture so far to this point and learn all about it. So there's a lot of places people can go and find out about the mission and our teaching. So that is almost repetitive things. Every month come here and talk about the same thing. So we have a lot of places that people can go and hear what the teaching is. Here we can go mostly, you know, in a more open forum for the people to be able to talk with each other. In this room, those who raise their hands have the priority. I will answer them first, and whatever they have to say, we go in a conversational way to find out exactly what is the question is, what you want to talk about. Nobody has raised their hand, I will answer the question in text also at the same time. And of course, all of you can answer in text, and the people come to the room. So if something there is in the text that can be improved on, I can participate in it, I will come into the mic and talk about what's in text and how we can improve on that. If no hand is raised and there is no question in text, I will explain the eternal of my path and our teachings. We will have this session for 2 hours. If you have a question, if you went to the website and you searched, you have 3 search engines in the website, the English website and French, and then we have a search engine in the root of the website that we can search our literature, and we have one in our e-commerce that you can go and search for the topics in the CDs and other things. So if you go there and you search for your question and you didn't find your answer, you can come here and ask your question to be answered in the format of lecture, in form of lecture, so you can, we can add that to the list. So of course, with the changing of the format, it is saying we are opening ourselves to all the kind of energy, so we should be prepared that it's not going to be as genie as when we're giving fast time. So, you're welcome to the conversation room of the mission of Maitreya. This is Maitreya, and you are welcome to ask any question. We claim that we have the latest and the last revelation of God for humanity, and we are calling humanity to come and join us and see this new revelation. And if you have any question, go ahead and raise your hand. We will answer you and discuss the question. Go ahead, John.
In all our lessons to learn, it says here, just before Lesson 6, Abram was chosen to start his mission. God chose Abram and foretold what would happen in the future, then through history fulfilled it. So Lesson 6, it says, everything is done by God, but the human glorifies man. What exactly does that mean?
If we are God, if God is with us, then there is nothing but God. And when you do something, who is doing it? Isn't it your soul? Your soul is doing it, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
So really, God is doing it. through you. But you are not aware that God is doing it. Since you and God are one, then God is doing it through you, then therefore God is the doer, right?
Yes.
So when we do something, who is doing it?
God's doing it through our souls.
Okay, and then doesn't that apply to everybody out there in the world? That then do they do something? It is God coming through them.
Yes, that would seem to apply to everyone.
Okay, then do they have glorified man? They say he is a hero. He has done great things. He made this plan. He glorified them and even give them rewards and all that. So instead of realizing that God is doing through them, who do we glorify?
Then we should glorify God. We did it through them.
So that sentence is saying this exactly, you know, it's a correct sentence, right? God does everything, but what do? We glorify man.
I have another question about that.
Okay, go ahead, John.
So does that mean in predestination and choice, then, that men are predestined to do certain things? Because there was a whole other essay on that. Could you discuss that as well?
Okay, sure. Well, predestination and choice is that those who realize that God is doer and become closer to Him, they lose their choices, right? And those who don't, they have choices, but they're not close to God. So those who glorify man, they are not close to God. They have their own ego and they glorify themselves and they are not following God and they think they are the doer and therefore they create problems for themselves and others and they have the choice to do whatever they want. But of course, as we create the kingdom of heaven on earth, more and more people realize that God is everything and therefore they become more God conscious and less self-centered. So we're going to have more people they're predestined instead of having choices. Does that make sense?
So when you think it's you doing it, you're responsible. And if God's coming through and you're surrendered or submitted, then He's responsible. That's it.
Well, still you let God come through, you do a perfect job, right? If you do the perfect job, what is to be responsible for God? Yes, you are responsible, but responsible means when something goes wrong, people say, hey, you are the responsible person doing this thing wrong. If it is wrong, God hasn't done it. If it's perfect, then nobody's going to say, yeah, you are responsible, you did a good job. But if you know that you are responsible, God did it through you, that is why it's perfect, therefore you don't take the credit for it, and you realize God is doing it, and you glorify God instead of glorifying yourself. God is perfect, so He is responsible in a good manner. He never is responsible in a bad manner because He does a perfect job. If it's not perfect, then you are responsible. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. Thank you, Mr. Eric.
Go ahead, John.
I had a question in the holiest book. It says, through the universal mind, God took control over the universe. And you see the triangle downward and the I Ching, which is a representation of the consciousness. Since consciousness are controlled by the creative forces, and God can control the creative forces through the universal mind, that's the means by which He controls His universe then. Is that right?
You mean He controls the universe by the creative forces, the tribunas?
Yes.
Remember, universal mind and our mind have the same component, right? Right. And God controls the universe, therefore He controls us. But we have ego. What is ego? Ego is the illusion of separation from God. And because we have the ego, we think we are the doer, we have the control over our lives, and therefore we are in delusion. We think that's it. The theology is God is in control. Because we have that delusion, we separate ourselves from Him, and we think He doesn't have control, we have control, we do our best, we go through all the headaches and heartaches and all the problems we create for ourselves, because we think we are the doer and we are trying to go against the will of God. But also God gave human free will, right? And therefore, we use our free will to go against His will, because we have ego and we have illusion of separation. Therefore, it seems He's not in control, but you go against His will. Does that make sense?
So is free will a part of that illusion of separation?
Yeah, as far as you think you are separated from God and you are away from Him, you have choices, you have free will. As you come closer to God, it again goes to predestination or choice. But as you come closer to God, He becomes the controller because His will becomes your will. So you lose your free will more and more, and God's will becomes your will. You have the choice, you have the freedom to choose to follow His will. But then you follow His will. Of course, you have the choice also not to follow His will in any moment. You say, well, I'm not going to follow your will anymore. I'm going to have my own ego and follow my own will. You have that choice. You have the choice to choose to follow God's will or not. But then you follow your will, and your will is not the same as God's will. You will create problems for yourself and other people. Go ahead, Anandamma.
In the Bible it says, all nations of the earth will be blessed through Him, the Messiah. Is that because each time he came to another nation? Thank you.
Any person that any nation believes is their founding father, is their prophet, their hero, or anything that blessed them is fulfilling that prophecy, that saying for humanity. Therefore, Abraham has blessed humanity through Isaac, through Moses, through David, through Christ, through Prophet Muhammad, through Baba. So he fulfilled that prophecy toward the Moses, toward all his children, and towards Christ, through Muhammad, Baha'u'llah, and also through many other ways, just like any heroes any nation have, is that blessing that has come from Abraham, and probably he's been reincarnated to bring that blessing. And now, of course, he blesses all humanity through this revelation. Who was the prince of Christ? Was that Abraham? Okay, yeah, he says in text, yes, okay. Then who was Abraham himself? Who was Abraham, none of them are?
He was the first begotten son of God, the Messiah.
Very, very good. He also was Moses, he also was Christ, he was also Muhammad. Also, from genealogy, so if you go, not to go from the incarnation, but genealogy, his children became David and the Prophet Muhammad and Christ, and eventually even now we know, you know, through my genealogy, I'm connected to Abraham. If it's near not the incarnation, then from the gene of the Prophet Abraham, humanity is blessed. Where are the children of Israel?
The children of Israel? Are you talking about the ones that are in America and England?
Okay, yeah, but the children of Israel is led to what? Two nations, the ten tribes and the house of Judah. Now where are they? House of Judah, where are the house of Judah? Where are the ten tribes?
the United States and England.
So the children of Israel are split to two nations, the 10 tribes that become the house of Israel, and the two southern tribes that become the house of Judah. The house of Israel eventually was conquered with Nebuchadnezzar and left and came to Europe and then eventually England and the United States. And the house of Judah, you know, was taken to Iraq and eventually ended up to Iran, and then they came back later to Israel, you know, to Cyrus. And so he brought them back. Where are they? They are all over the world. They've left their humanity. Where are the children of Ishmael?
They're the Arab nations.
Okay, where are the Arab nations now?
They're all over the world, too.
How, Mom? How are they all over the world?
They're in the Arab nations, Iraq, Iran, they're everywhere. Spain, they're all over.
Okay, who are the Spanish people?
They come from Ishmael, too.
How?
From Japan?
You can answer if you want.
I'm not sure how to answer that question, right?
Okay, if anybody knows how, just go ahead and take the mic.
After Prophet Muhammad came through Arabia, took all of North Africa as well, and the North Africans sieged part of Europe in an attempt to make it Islamic, and that part was Spain.
How Spanish people are Arab.
Well, that's how. So then they intermarried there with the Arabs that came in, right?
In North Africa?
No, the ones that came into Spain.
In Spain, okay. Good. All right. Very good. That's it. The Arabs were in Spain for 200 years. And you know, Arabs are pretty good making children. They can have as many wives as they want. And they took advantage of that. And we know their kings have harems that had many wives in it, so they had a lot of children. So Spanish people, even south of French, was affected with Spanish culture, and they have a lot of Spanish and word in French, and actually, if you study Spanish, it's very similar to Arabic language. It is influenced in Latin, but also it is influenced with the Arabic language. Actually, there is people that are still called Mansur in Mexico. Mansur came from Nas. Nas means the helper or friend. So it isn't really an Arabic word that is in Spanish, and you can find a lot of Arabic words in Spanish. So the Spanish people have a lot of Arab blood in them. So Arabs are from all the way from Saudi Arabia to Middle East to North Africa to Spain to South America, and actually pretty soon 50% of the American population will be Spanish. So it's going to be United States is going to be the house of the children of both Israel and Ishmael. And we can see the Spanish culture is becoming very prominent in the United States. So we can see that also they have been blessed through this process. So God kept His promise again. Right, Ma? Or do you have any follow-up?
Yes, I wasn't clear on that. And thank you for that clarification, Matreya.
Okay, Shwara, go ahead.
Salam Israel, salam to all. I'm glad to hear your voices. I just wanted to come back to this question with the word. God is everything. Okay, so who or what is acting in us when we are separate from God, when we are far from Him?
Okay, who do you think it is?
I don't know. That is why I'm asking this question. I have no idea here, since everything is gone.
Very good, okay. If everything is God, then who are we?
Well, we are a part of God. But when we're far from Him, it's a bit complicated to understand. When we're far from Him, when we are in the illusion of separation. We are in the illusion of separation. We are not separate. We cannot be separate from God, I think. But we can have the feeling that we are far from Him, that we are separate from Him. So, is it God Himself who is acting in us, even when we are far from Him?
If we and God are one, how can we be far from Him? You know? And you yourself said, this is an illusion of separation. If we are in illusion, does that illusion really exist? That's why the way of thinking of it is that does really Atman or self or I as separate from God exist? That's really that comes to that question. Do I really exist? Why we are separated from God is the illusion that we have that you are separate from God. Right? If God is everything, therefore, we are not separate from God. God is everything. We are all God and one with Him. But, of course, in the manifested world, there are people that are closer to God. They realize God, they have less illusion, or delusion of separation from God, and there are that absolutely are disconnected from God, and they even don't know God exists, and they don't believe God exists. So illusion, Maya is so strong, so powerful. The illusion is so powerful that we truly believe we exist and God doesn't. And that illusion is like a veil that disconnects us from God. But really, it is just that's what it is, illusion. So we can see that in reality, Atman doesn't exist. Illusion that we have it exists, and we are separated from each other and God because of that illusion. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, Mr. Yang. That makes sense. Could you tell me who is doing the bad things when we are far from God? Is God doing these bad things?
How can God do bad things? God is good. God is perfect. If God is perfect, can He do something that is not perfect? This is bad.
And no, I think that God does only perfect things. That's again, who is doing the imperfect things, the bad things that. Sorry for my question, I am insisting, but I would like to understand.
Sure, Shwara, that's why we call this conversation. You know, we'd like to talk about it, and also, if anybody else wants to jump in, you know, just raise your hand or jump in or whatever. That's conversation. Who do you think it is that does the bad thing? You say you have that question, you know. God is perfect. We are one with God. There is no separation between us and God. We really don't exist. He really exists. Who does the bad thing? Good question. Who does the bad thing? Anybody?
The ego does the bad thing by using that same energy toward its own selfish desires. That's the right answer.
Okay. Go ahead, Shakti.
Thank you, Maitreya. Yes, as John said, I was going to also say it's our ego, that lower nature, the lower propensities in man is.
All right. Okay. Ishwara, did this all answer your question?
Yes.
it helps. It helps, but it's a big question. I don't think I will understand this talk perfectly. I think I will do that when I will be completely in the...
If you find it the best.
Yeah, it is a big question. It's a very hard question. It's just like asking, does God exist? Who is God? Unless you explain your God, you know, it's impossible to explain it. God is not something you explain, you experience. It's the same thing. The separation of ego from God is so powerful that we will not understand this separation until we experience the oneness with God. And then you realize that, whoa, I don't exist. God is the only thing that exists and coming through me. And the illusion is so complete that many people don't feel God. Haven't you heard, I don't feel God, I don't know God, I can't understand God, I can't be one with God, because I don't know God. That's right. You have never experienced God. That is why you are in that illusion of separation from God, and therefore you think He doesn't exist. But the moment you have that experience with God, you realize you don't exist, and God comes to you perfectly from then on. Of course, still, you are not going to be with God all the time. Even then, after that, you know, you will come. Your ego come, you become human, and then God is not with you. But as we create the conditions of life more and more, we reach a point that more people will experience God in a greater degree, and the whole community are going to be based on God's perfect action through every member in the community, and the stuff each ego in the community pull the community to different direction according to their own whim and will and desires. Therefore, every individual in the community becomes more and more perfect and will do perfect job according to the will of God. So we can see that it is a big question, very big question, and that's actually the essence of knowing thyself. You know, if you don't know yourself, then of course you are a big ego and you will create problems. So it is the essence actually of the first seal, to know thyself, to know God and experience God and realize that you are one and you have no separation from Him. And if you feel separated, then you are in illusion and in delusion, and you will act not according to the will of God, but according to that illusion, and therefore your action is going to be in delusion and illusion, and not perfect, and will create karma, and will bound you in a greater degree. So the question is amazingly huge. It is hard to explain. It's not explainable unless you experience it again. But the essence of it is God is perfect, God never does anything He is not perfect. And if it is something we do is not perfect, it is our ego, our illusion of separation, and we are the problem, God is not the problem. Religion is not the problem, human is the problem. Go ahead, Kyosha.
Somewhere in the holiest book, and I'm sorry I don't know where, it talks about the spiritual teachings being revealed through the letters of the alphabet, and only two letters have been revealed. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah. He's getting things confused. There's one part of the holiest book where it says, should I talk?
Sure.
Sharin, I think you're getting two things confused. In the holiest book, it does say that the letters of the alphabet of the Hindu alphabet were the power words. Then the thing about two letters is a Baha'i prophecy, that the Bab said in all of history there had only been two letters of truth revealed, and the one whom God shall make manifest will reveal the next, like 25 letters or something.
Okay, I don't remember anything in those that talks about the letters and your question. Are you sure it's in those, or you think it's somewhere else? Okay, she's gonna look for it. So, alright. Okay, according to Ma, it was in Satsang, so you remember about Satsang, Ma?
I don't remember exactly what Satsang, but if it would be helpful, I'll be glad to go and find it.
Maybe Shirin can tell us more about, I talked about that the numbers and the alphabet, you know, they have some meaning, you know, the, especially the numbers, it versus 144,000 is equal to 1 plus 4 plus 4 is plus 9, 9 is the end of a period or and the beginning of the next era, just like 9, after that 10, 11, and so on. So there is a reason for those numbers. They have some meaning, and I have talked about some of them in the Golden Key. But there is alphabets have a meaning. So I think that Baha'i people, they big thing about the word, you know, alphabet and the thing like that, right, John?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he says yes. Okay. Go ahead, Lou.
The question is concerning karma. You talked about our own individual karma, and I want to know, if we carry the gene of our ancestors, do we also have to handle their karma?
Not their karma, but because it is proven that most people born in the same genetic background and reincarnated over and over in the same gene, they might carry their own karma. And because they are their own ancestors, they say, you carry your ancestors' karma, but really it is your karma. Do you understand what I'm saying? For instance, if we believe that Joseph was the same as Abraham, for example. Joseph was carrying the karma of Abraham, right? So that Joseph can, did he still have the karma of Abraham? Therefore, he was carrying that. We do not carry karma of the ancestors that we have not been. Do you understand what I was saying?
Yes, yes. So you're saying that just along our genetic lines, we only carry that karma, but if we are not, if we were not that particular individual, we are not carrying that particular individual karma. Is that it?
Yeah. For example, if Joseph wasn't Abraham, Joseph wouldn't carry the karma of you know Abraham. But if Joseph was Abraham, also he also carried the karma of Abraham. So, or Moses. If Moses wasn't Abraham, he didn't have the same karma as Abraham, because although Abraham was his ancestor, he didn't have it. But if Moses was Abraham, he would carry his karma, right? Yeah, but you're saying exactly what I'm saying. You got it correctly. I never carry the karma of another person. Each person are responsible for their own actions, and they will pay for what they did. I'm not going to pay for what my father did. It was his karma. If he did a bad thing, it is karma. I might pay the karma of his grandfather or his father, but I might have been his father, if I was. Yeah. But it is proven that the genealogy of Adam and Abraham and David all go back together, and it is the same person comes back. Okay, Abraham was Adam. King David was Abraham. Okay, Moses was Abraham, and so he had all those karmas, and because he has done a good job in every lifetime, of course, God brings him back to do the same thing. So his karma sounds like being in the kingdom of heaven on earth. But in the genealogy way also, he also has the genetic of Abraham and Adam and King David and Christ and Muhammad and all that. So in what they say, there must be some truth that you pay for the karma of your ancestors. But who are your ancestors? You yourself. And therefore, you carry your karma with you, but you never ever pay karma of other person. Therefore, if that's true, if you pay for what your father did, that is not just. You are paying for somebody else's, you know, mistakes. And God never does that. But always it's just. You pay for what you did. And also, karma is not just to pay. Karma is to learn the lesson. When you learn the lesson, karma is gone. Go ahead, Drew.
Yes, in the New Testament, when they asked John the Baptist if it was Elijah come again, he said no. And further down, when in the conversation with his disciples, Christ said that Elijah did come, but they did with him what they wanted to.
Okay, who do you believe, Christ or John the Baptist?
That is what I wanted to know. I believe Christ, but John, it seems to me that John didn't know who he was then. Is that correct?
Well, a part of our teaching is truth with a discriminative mind. It means be truthful, but if you say the truth, they chop your head off. Okay? You don't have to. You have to carry a discriminative mind. Okay, what kind of situation John was in when they asked that question?
Well, I don't understand what you're saying because the situation was very volatile where he was.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering why they didn't just answer in another way instead of saying no, he was not.
Okay, well, it was the Pharisees and the priests that were asking him that question. He said, I'm not the Christ. And they said, are you a prophet? I said, no, I'm not. And then they insisted, then who are you? What else they were trying to do? They were trying to get some answer out of it. Why? Why they wanted an answer out of it? Who were the priests that they wanted to do that? Who were those priests? Do you remember?
The priests were the Pharisees in those days, weren't they? The rabbis.
Yeah. Okay, who betrayed Christ? Who went to the Roman representative, principal, and ask him to crucify Christ?
That were the high priest in those days, weren't they?
Exactly. There was a priest, they came to him and told him, crucify Christ. Okay, now the same priest are asking John the Baptist, who are you? They are the priests, they are the powerful people in the society, they are in the temple, they run the temple, they run the people. They were the powerful priest class who were asking John the Baptist, are you this prophet? And John the Baptist knew them. Can he say, yes, I am? What will I have done to him? Also, another way you can look at it is, what a good does it make if he says, I am? Which is better, for him to say I am, or to realize who he is? And it's just like, you can ask me who I am. If I say who I am, you say, oh, he has a big ego. But if other people realize who I am and tell you who I am, this one is better. Okay? So you can look at also that he didn't want to tell them directly himself, but he wanted them to realize it. But that is why he said, I am the one who comes before Christ. And my voice cries in the wilderness, which was the prophecy that the forerunner of Christ is going to be that person. So indirectly he answered them. Just like asking me who you are. And I'm not going to come out and say, you know, I'm such as a... Well, I am the person who opened the seven seals, okay? Who has fulfilled the prophecy, okay? Who brought the unification of our religion. Now, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to make you to realize my claim. The stuff I directly tell you, right? I tell you, oh, he's a big ego. But maybe John the Baptist was doing the same thing. Of course, also you can say he might be using the discriminative mind. You know, he's truthful. He's directly saying who he is, but at the same time, he's not going to tell them. But they are trying to trap him. And it's not really seeking the truth. Go ahead, Dada.
In prophecy, Islamic prophecy, you wrote, the word Antichrist is not a literal physical being. It is instead a spirit of animosity toward God and the truth. But in the text, who is the Antichrist, it seems to be Benjamin Cream. Could you explain a little bit more about this, please?
What you are asking is not my words, but one of the disciples. That part I did not write, so the quote is the writing of another person. But in general, what you say is the theme of teaching, which teaches that Antichrist is an opposition to God. Did I know that my lineage goes to King David?
Yes.
I did? Oh, okay, I didn't know that I did. Okay, well, I did not know until the brother Frank came and insisted that he find my lineage and genealogy, and he was the person who find the answer. Now, Benjamin Graham came with the idea of Maitreya and took $1 million ads all over the world in all the major cities in the world proclaiming that Maitreya is going to be in 1982, in the spring of 1982. We even didn't know such a person exists. We advertised the mission in 1982 and that, yes, we are here and Maitreya is here and our teaching is here. And a couple of months later, somebody came and told us that there is somebody by the name Benjamin Graham claiming Maitreya, which comes from Himalayas with his body, will unify the humanity, and he's the one that's going to show up in 1982. Well, he created a lot of confusion. For the last 22 years, I was trying to reconcile what he's saying and what we claim. I have never heard him. I have never read his books. I had some information here and there until around a month and a half or 2 months ago. I heard that he's going to have a talk in Coast to Coast. It's a talk show in the radio, and we are going to have it in KOMV. And it's a local station. So I decided to listen to him to see what is he saying. And I listened to him, and most of the things he says is absolutely not according to the scriptures. It's not based on the word of God, and what he says, it doesn't just make sense. So he is the only really organization that really created a lot of confusion about Maitreya, and he is the person really more and more I'm realizing that bringing more confusion and it's become an obstacle in the mission's way than helping at all. Not only not helping, it's hindering and creating a lot of bad energy toward us. So, although it is true, I explained in that essay that although it is true that Antichrist in the spirit of animosity or Maya or external world, but also it sounds now it's becoming clear that this individual or this hierarchy or this other Maitreya that never manifested itself, never came up, is also have the spirit of animosity toward the God's work, which we believe all is the God's work. It is from God, it's based on the scriptures. It has opened the seventh seal and fulfilled the prophecy, and therefore the conclusion is very easily can reach that now, this person or this teaching is from Antichrist, the spirit that has been opposing God all along from the foundation of creation, and even the brotherhood and the hierarchy, they always connect you to themselves instead of connecting you to God. And therefore, the whole hierarchy and all those who claim to be connected to them, they are not preaching the word of God, but they are preaching their own understanding, and they are channel of different beings, and they never let you go to God, but they become in the way of God. Therefore, that is the spirit of animosity. That is Maya. They take you not to God, but to themselves. And therefore, conclusion was that it is from the spirit of Antichrist, which means really not being from Christ. It means anti-against Christ. And we are just having this energy. They are actually more powerful than the mission is. People know more about that other Maitreya than this Maitreya, and they follow, this for 22 years, he has fooled people that Maitreya is going to be here any time now. You know, just a couple of days, a couple of months, a couple of years, it never happened. And what he said also is not based on the scripture, therefore that the spirit is the spirit of Antichrist, and therefore we can add that to the spirit of animosity toward God. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, Maitreya, thank you. But do we have to change the text in the website that says that Antichrist is not the leader of physical being? Maybe we will have to revise a little bit.
Even in this case, we really do not refer to a person because that might just never really materialize. Really. Even if such a person exists, they really, it's not a person as per se one person, but it's representing the hierarchy and the brotherhood and all those beings that has been, misleading humanity all along and connecting humanity to themselves instead of to God. Christ didn't connect you to himself. Prophet Muhammad didn't connect you to himself. And all great prophets always connected man to God. And they never said, we are God and you worship us and you channel us and you worship us and you acknowledge us and put God out of the conversation. And actually, everybody should bring God into conversation, not themselves or the hierarchy or the prophet or anything else like that. So they are the spirit of the animosity. And still it's not an individual, it's an idea, because Mr. Krem really never manifested a person. Even that person is not really a person by itself, but a representative of a group of beings or people. So again, that sentence is correct. It is not a person. It is the idea of being against Christ and God and the scripture. So we don't have to change that word. And also that essay is correct because it shows the same idea. Shwara, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Taya, the way God's work is very amazing because I know very well Benjamin Quinn. I worked for him for a while when I was in Paris, and I have even already been at his home and meditated with him at his home. And how do I find the mission of the Eternal Divine Path through internet, because I was trying to know how was the Share International progressing, going on and on, and I found netaya.org because I intended to try to find the Benjamin Screen website. So it is a strange way, but it works fine. So sure, it's not easy to understand that it can be as the spirit of the Antichrist. But I understand that the illusion about this material which is not existing, in fact, that he helped me to find you.
Yeah, it eventually will help the mission, just like John the Baptist says to Christ, you know. John the Baptist also had his own ideas because he didn't recognize Christ. And then Christ came, John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one? And even then, you know, they start criticizing him, why your followers don't fast, why don't, you know, and all that. So John the Baptist had his own ideas. He didn't want to follow Christ, and therefore he creates separation between himself and Christ. But at the end, of course, Christ prevailed, and his mission became a great religion in the world. And it's the same thing almost happening here with Mr. Grant. You say an illusion. What is Antichrist? Antichrist is an illusion. It's not illusion of separation from God. Illusion that insists that God is not number one, but they are the number one. Their understanding is number one. If it's not based on the scripture, and then he still insists, you know, that there's nowhere in the scriptures that Christ is going to be his body. Okay? He never says it's going to come from him or Himalaya. It's going to come from the west of Tibet and India and east of Jerusalem. It's not what he says is not correct. Therefore, whatever is not the word of God and opposing his will is Antichrist, and he is also in that illusion and a separation. Therefore, he can be categorized as Antichrist as well. Although Antichrist really means, you know, the illusion, the maya, the power or energy that takes you from God. Okay, Ishwara, if you have something to say, go ahead. Otherwise, Shakti, go ahead.
Lord, it makes sense for me. I can understand very well this part of the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then, Shakti, go ahead.
Thank you. As you say, the Antichrist does not connect us to God. And it also seems, from what I have heard from the Benjamin Krem, he also connects people to ethereal beings, which also goes along with illusion, and that would cause a separation from God, because people think, as you have said, when they get trapped in that ethereal plane, they think they found it and they haven't. So that's a very sad thing. Also, and I just want to comment, but also he does connect people to ethereal beings. Is that correct,
Maitreya? Well, as we taught many times, if that form, if that test, if that sound, if that touch, if it appears to any of your senses, it is not ultimate. It is not where you are trying to go. It is an illusion. It is a trap. it did not take you to God. Therefore, anything that is not formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal, it is not fine, it is in your path and is Antichrist. Therefore, again, can categorize, you know, Benjamin Graham and his teaching, illusion, Antichrist, and it is in the way of God. And that is why our teaching are so hard for some people to follow and accept, because we are telling them to give up a lot of things. They are trying to give up ethereal things, their prophets, their gurus, their, you know, worldly things, and they do not want to do that. And of course, that's why we are looking only for the next. For those who have reached a point to realize, look, the ethereal being is not my thing. I'm not going to do astral projection. I want to go to God. What did God say? God says, I am formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. I am absolutely unknowable, untouchable, unless we experience it. That experience is beyond any explanation. So you can see how many antichrists are there out there. Hundreds and thousands of them, of course. Benjamin Graham has been one of the arch antichrists, as they have created more separation and confusion about what we do than anybody else. Okay, go ahead, Shireen.
Well, just two people come into the room and they talk about sharing the national, and I get my experience of sharing the national also. But they give proof with quotation marks around that word by signs and miracles and these appearances all over the world and statues drinking milk and all this silly stuff. But people who even come into the room seem so desperate for some sort of proof that they're willing to believe that that is the truth and have some sort of proof, that it's just a hook. They're just looking into this whole Antichrist notion and they don't even know it.
Exactly. Didn't the Bible say that the spirit of devil will do miracles and wonders? You know? And did ever miracles made a better believer? You know? Moses opened the, you know, let's see. And the people went to the other side and some murmuring against it. They don't have anything to eat. Why did you write it up? Out of eating, at least they had something to eat. He just opened the hole. Let's see for them, and they didn't become a better believer. So, miracle doesn't make him a better believer. And also miracle, what did he do to Christ? The result was he was crucified. He does all those miracles, but they crucified him. This is not understanding God and this teaching. That's why in this time, the teaching is to be understood, to be realized, to be educated with, and educate the rest of humanity with this truth that has come through this mission, and not the miracles. Our miracle is, though, our miracle is to teach you how to heal yourself. Our miracle is to make you a son of God, not be healed you and then leave, and then your state is going to be worse than before. So this is the highest realization and revelation God has given to man, and God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. It has shape, it has test, it has any, it appears to any of your senses. It's not God. It's not ultimate. It is God. It's a part of God, but it is not ultimate and it can be trapped. So keep your spirit and your understanding very high, you know, and then teach man the same thing. And guide them. Guide these people who are thinking to plan and make them be realized. Look, it is not a scripture what he says. No. What he says is a trap, is an illusion. If you want to get out of illusion and delusion, mission of my treasure, take you out of it. And reveals to you the ultimate God, which, you know, that the goal of life. Yes, therefore we do accept him as an arch antichrist, because he has created confusion about Maitreya, and a lot of people have accepted his word and stop accepting our word and God's word. But eventually, as you said, his people even who are with him will realize, you know, that delusion and illusion have become disillusioned and become and join us as follower of John the Baptist, eventually became Christian and follower of Christ. But at this time we have to make everybody realize that he is not saying the truth, he is representing a delusional energy, and what he said is not completely correct. But what we say, we have so much truth in this mission. How this answer comes to humanity? Can a human bring so many correct answers to man? Unless you are in delusion, then you say, yes, a man can do that. Otherwise, you can see that all this wonderful truth has come from God. He is the only person who can bring all so much truth into humanity. And therefore, we have to accept that this is from God and teach the same thing to humanity. And let them come and join us and understand this teaching and preach this teaching to everybody out there. Therefore, they know the truth and seek the formless, invisible names of the eternal. And they stop falling into all this trap of gurus. My guru is better than your guru. My prophet is better than your prophet. I am, you know, astral projection and stuff. This, you know, ethereal beings and that ethereal being and this and that. There's so much confusion. But us, not confused at all. But it doesn't appeal to our senses. It appeals to our spirit, to essence. It is also formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. So, great is this revelation, and it can help many people with it. Go ahead, Drew.
My other question is, what is the difference between conversation with Maitreya and Satsang?
That's a good question. The idea is, if we can get to the point, we can talk to each other. We can talk the teaching out to each other. We can go back and forth. Of course, it's a little hard because you have to release the mic, the other person talks, and then the other person has to release the mic, and then you talk. It's a little harder than conversation. But the idea is, now, whatever I...